Hello, hello, and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Bridgerton Season 4, Episode 6, The Passing Winter.
Yes, and yet there's nothing about winter in this episode. You have to kind of wonder, don't you?
Well, I also was wondering in the last episode, like, how much time had passed, because now it's clearly they're trying to give fall vibes, and I'm just like, it's still supposed to be the season, I guess?
Well, and...
Because John and Francesca said that they were only going to be there for the social season, which ends, like, what, July?
Something like that. Yeah, so, and the next episode has, like, winter, like, they're talking about cold and stuff like that. I don't know.
No, there's no winter, it's still
fall.
Well,
but they talk about it's, like, oh, it's very cold out, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't understand the timeline of this. They don't explain it clearly. We are failing in that regard. However, we have our usual caveats, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show. You really, really should have watched, you know, all the way through the second half of Bridgerton Season 4 at this point. And we are having... The array. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity to have a mimosa flight that involved an entire bottle of Prosecco that we split, not one each. God,
that would be insane.
It would be insane. With grape cordial, orange, these are all separate that you could just like add your own. So grape cordial, grapefruit syrup, maybe, orange juice, and marmalade, all as things to add in. I think it's been fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Natalie's feeling good. Absolutely. So I think that's really kind of been nice. So let's
also, we have an email.
Yeah, well, yes, it was not sent to buzzbinging.com, however. I think it was sent to my...
Well, I was still trying to plug our email, but I wasn't
referring to that one. Go ahead.
So we have an email that you can send any thoughts or feelings about any of the stuff that we have covered, and we will shout it out and respond to it on the next consecutive episode of Buzz Binging. And so we... If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, share it on Facebook. It's Buzz Binging, or share it in an email straight to us in private, which we will answer publicly.
Right, because there's nothing private about a podcast.
It's buzzbinging, all spelled out, at gmail.com.
Right. So we had someone reach out to us, and a lot of what we have gotten sort of has been marketing type stuff, but this one was from Germany. We are thrilled that we have listeners in Germany and other places throughout the world. We love you. We would love to hear from you about something that isn't necessarily marketing, because you know, we really are much more interested in what you want to hear, what you think of the substance of the show. But you know, we do appreciate that you're listening at all.
We will take it
absolutely. And if there are keywords, maybe we need to be working on keywords. I don't know. But hey, it's all good.
So
it's all good.
Into this episode, episode 6, The Passing Winter. I guess it's another one of those where, like, in the first half of this season, we were able to separate the storylines pretty easily. I feel like, I guess we could do Violet and Marcus, then Penelope, then Sophie and Benedict.
Hyacinth and Eloise is also...
Well, that's more tied into Sophie and Benedict.
Right, but Hyacinth and Eloise kind of before me.
Sure. So let's just really quickly do Violet and Marcus. They have a discussion about how Benedict knows, and she's like, we've been so careful. It's like, okay. Yeah, you haven't been obvious at all.
No.
You seek each other out in every social situation possible, and you've been having sex on a regular basis, and the only thing that you have been doing is leaving early in the morning. So I think it's valid for Benedict, a grown man, to know this. Even though Antony, who this could have been such a funny scene of him figuring it out,
being like,
"You think you can do that to my dad? Like my dead dad, who he already has daddy issues about."
I would really have loved it to have that aspect.
Oh, and Anthony. We also will
Yeah.
discuss Anthony in the Benedict section.
Right.
He's
So
back.
briefly, very,
Briefly.
very briefly.
Yeah, and not in weird ways, but
And we get to see Kate in this episode,
we
don't
also
we?
do get to see Kate and their baby Edmund.
Oh, who's the
I'm glad they
cutest
kept that
baby?
such a
Oh,
cute
it's
baby.
so cute.
Either way, so yeah, they are talking, and Marcus is just, she's just like, oh, well, it's so bad that we have been having this extramarital affair, even though neither of us are married. And she's just like, well, you want to take that pressure off, like not get engaged or anything, and like keep things on the down low? Like, what do you want to do? And she immediately takes that as, you don't want to be with me,
He
you don't want
doesn't
to get
phrase it that
married.
way, though. What he says is, you know, we don't have to make this formalized in any way. That actually might be a good thing. That's what he says. And so she takes it
As
as
you
you
don't
don't
want to be
want
with
to,
me.
right? Like, you don't want to formalize this because I'm just a side chick, which I
To
can
whom,
kind of, well, right, but I can understand where she's coming from because, you know, let's face it, they haven't, you know, been. They don't know each other that well. So,
they've known each other for a while. Either way, so they have that weird encounter. He's just like, hey, when can I see you again? And she's just like, we need to discuss what we were discussing earlier. And they do. He comes over and he's just like, I do love you and I want to marry you. Will you marry me? And she's just like,
yeah, but then
yes.
what he says, and he says this so well, it's like, I want to let you have room to prioritize your family. I don't want to get between you and them ever. But you know, if you want me to make me part of the family, I'd love that. That'd be great.
And she's like, that would be great. Yes, I
Yes.
would love
So
that.
she's very
He's
like,
very
oh,
happy.
and I think some of that though is caught up in the moment happy. And I
Yeah.
can't blame her, honestly. But I do think that there's a bit of this was unexpected, and she's excited,
Yeah, no,
which, you
that's
know,
fair.
understandable.
All right, Penelope.
Understandable.
So I, first of all, I
I
was
found this super boring. I'm sorry.
sure. I was able to call this twist from the beginning of this episode because they, in the Lady Whistledown column, they're just, well, they don't discuss the new Lady Penwood who's
Oh,
coming
yeah,
with
now
her
that you've called
husband
this one.
to live in Penwood House. But as soon as we didn't see Lady Penwood's face but saw Lord Penwood's face, I knew immediately who that bitch was. And it's Cressida Cowper. I knew. They were going to bring that girl back. And the way they did it feels a lot more season three than
It's very forced.
it's not very developed from season three. I don't feel much of a
Yeah,
change.
there's not growth on either side, really. I
Yeah,
mean,
because
because
with.
Penelope's just hurt
Yeah,
still.
Penelope's hurt and still doing her column. She doesn't feel vindicated by anything, even though she did take Cressida down last season. And Cressida is just like, well, I'm married better than you, technically speaking, by rank, but
Yeah.
you married for love. So we're both on the same end of the stick of like, we're doing just fine. So will you come to my ball? And Penelope's like,
Not for that.
what?
She's also like, oh, I have this great love story, and you could write about that. That'd be interesting for
And the
people.
queen, she doesn't really like me because I lied to her about Lady Whistledown, and that's a whole thing. Can you defend me to her? It's like, no.
What
Like, what are you talking about,
made
lady?
you think this was even a possibility,
She
fucking
was
bitch?
she just wanted to return to London society, which I mean, she could have just stayed in the countryside.
Well, and all she says is, oh, and I apologize.
Yeah, oh, I apologize for all the seasons before. And Penelope's like, yeah, right, okay, whatever. And so she's holding a ball at Penwood House to like celebrate her return.
Penwood House has been redecorated to being Pepto-Bismol pink
Indeed.
everywhere.
To fit her, and honestly, and this is mentioned in I think the last episode of this season, but she really has she has kind of branched out a bit more compared to like what her family home looks like a museum, a dark museum. Like
Oh
she
yeah, it's
wants to
bright.
fill the world with color or at least her world, with
Pink.
color
Pink.
and make everything her way. And her husband's just has no lines and is just nodding along, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what her deal with the husband is, but I think that would have helped humanize her a bit, like if they actually did love each other or
Right.
like had some kind of
Very
connection.
much a Featherington spouse. Like, yeah, he's
No,
like,
not
he
even the
just.
Featherington spouse. He's even less than that.
Oh,
The
sorry.
Featherington spouses are actually funny.
Yeah.
Like
Well.
I spent a whole minute talking about them last episode, and they showed up for what, 2 seconds?
Yeah.
I like the Featherington spouses, but not this guy. We don't learn anything about him, even though he could be an interesting element to this.
Yeah.
Like
Well.
if he found out about Sophie or like something like that, I'd be like, actually, that was really wrong of them to do that. I'm
If he had
as
a
Lord
personality,
Penwood, I am going
he
to
does.
legitimize you or something. I don't
Yeah,
know.
we didn't get that.
We didn't get any of him. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's sad
Either
in a
way,
way, but at the
they
same time,
the queen gets the invitation and is insulted, and Alice has a great idea.
yes, Alice is
Oh,
quite conniving here.
Alice is agonizing over the fact that she knows that Sophie and
Benedict's hurt.
Benedict have like an affair. And she does not tell the queen, and she doesn't want to tell Will because, like, then that's just another person who knows and who could tell people.
But they have this cute exchange, and it's cute mostly because of Will. Like, she's tormented, and he's like, "Ah, oh, come on, why are you tormented?" And
Throw a punch at my
throw a punch at my
hands.
hand,
You should be able to punch better than that. You're the wife of a
yeah, he's
boxer.
like, "I'll be your sparring partners. Like, you need to take people by surprise." And she hits his hand well, and he's like, "All right, well
That's my
done. That's my
girl.
girl." And
That's cute.
it was very cute.
It brings them back to their roots where they were more grounded in reality,
Yes.
and I think that they have integrated Alice when Alice found, like, is the one who found out the information about Sophie and Benedict. I was like, oh, that's actually an interesting, like,
Twist.
yeah, a twist. Yeah, sure, but
It
like
has potential.
her being integrated into the main plot instead of just being a mouthpiece for Lady Danbury for the queen. It
Yeah.
just is like, eh, that's kind of
Agreed.
boring. And it was a boring subplot from like the first half of the season that I wasn't really like that keen on them exploring as much,
True.
unless they did something super interesting with it, which they weren't going to. But
I
having
wouldn't call this super interesting, but
it's
it's
more important,
unique.
and it makes it seem like, okay, well, at least she has some kind of stake in the plot,
Yeah.
and so I feel the need to pay attention during the scene. Either way, they have that cute moment, and Alice has the idea for the queen to have Cressida do the ball in her honor, and then just not show up, and that
Right.
will be her statement to the ton of don't like fraternize with her, and it will be her stance on Cressida. And the queen's like, okay, that sounds like a good plan. And that's basically all of the Alice stuff. But Penelope goes back to, she's talking to the girls, and she's like, yeah, let's go to Cressida's ball. It won't like kill anybody, whatever. And she talks to Eloise, and Eloise is like, well, do you ever think that, which is a very, this, Eloise is very mature in this
Episode,
episode
yeah.
for reasons I can't exactly explain, but I'm glad that she has had kind of a resurgence of maturity,
You
because
can't call it a resurgence of maturity
no,
because
yeah,
you
because it
haven't
never
questioned her
happened before. I
before,
know, I'm
right?
sorry. A blossoming of maturity. That's a weird way of putting it too. Either
Yeah.
way, she's being mature, and
Yay.
she's talking to Penelope and is just like, well, have you ever thought the reason the queen doesn't feel like she can let you go is because you're her only window to the outside world? And
She's in this gilded cage and things.
because she can, Eloise right now can kind of relate to that because everyone else is married and she's kind of like left on her own with her younger siblings and doesn't feel like she can participate as much with everybody else.
And Penelope's kind of like, since when did you become so empathetic? Good for you.
Yeah,
And she's a little
good
empathetic
progress.
with Cressida too. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, Cressida was in a bad place, last season, whatever. And
I hope
so
she's doing well with her new
Penelope, yeah.
husband and stuff.
Yeah, Penelope goes back to the queen and she's like, "Look, I understand that you feel really confined and everyone just kind of focuses on you and they're doing the same thing with me now that everybody knows who I am. And so they all want something from me as opposed to actually just doing the things that they do. So it's not real
Genuine.
honest gossip." anymore. So we need to let them get back to whatever they do.
And she basically has a plan.
She has a Penelope has a plan.
Penelope has a plan. This also ties in with the Eloise and Hyacinth arc, where,
Which is very cute.
yeah, Hyacinth and Eloise have a moment before with the Penwoods, well,
Before
the guns.
before the ball.
Before the ball. No, that's not the part I'm referring to. With Rosamund, Posey, and
Oh, right.
Aminta.
So Araminta shows up at
Yeah.
Bridgerton House and she's like,
Because she now thinks that Sophie works there.
and she's like, have you heard of this Sophie Beck? She stole shoe clips from me and she's
And
a terrible
Violet's
person.
like,
I
oh
should call the
no,
magistrate. And
that
Violet
really
Baldwin
sucks
was
for
like, eh.
you. They're shoe clips.
But while they're having this conversation, Eloise and Hyacinth are sitting on the little settee across from Posey and Rosamond. And
They're
Eloise is trying to
realizing.
make it up to Hyacinth. The Hyacinth's ignoring her, but paying very close attention to Rosamond and Posey, who are acting really weird.
Well, that's, and I think they also are getting a glimpse of like, this is some other people's sibling dynamics. Oh God, I'm glad that we have good
Yeah, we're
siblings.
not that,
We're
thank
not like
God.
fat shaming people for having a
Yes.
second biscuit
Yeah.
or doing anything like that, or just,
publicly being awful,
yeah,
right? Like
they're just
we
ignoring
are
each other.
unified front,
Yeah.
and they all also in this, Sophie comes in to serve and she sees, Araminta and she sees Posey and Rosamund. She's like, fuck. Posey and Sophie make eye contact and Posey covers for Sophie, which she's a real one. Good for her.
That's not really important right the second, but it will be important later
Right. But what
when
but
we talk
in
about Sophie and
right,
Benedict.
but in the conversation that Araminta and Violet have, Araminta makes the high sign to Mrs. Wilson, who then gets Footman John to come in and say, oh, you have another visitor. You guys have to go. And Violet's clearly like, thank God.
But that's more from Sophie and Benedict's section. I skipped ahead. But that moment of seeing other siblings interact is important for later because I think Eloise gets a wake-up call of like, people could treat their siblings really poorly, and I really don't want to do that. So she goes to Hyacinth before Cressida's ball, and Hyacinth is getting ready for bed. She says, hey, what would you say if I could sneak you into the ball? Because that's literally Hyacinth's dream, be going to a real society ball, not just her recital, but a real ball to like kind of
See how
test
it really
her footing or
works.
just like see it. And this one is also really highly gossiped about. And so she kind of wants to be present for that as well. And so she's just, Sophie's there as well doing Hyacinth's hair. And Eloise is like, we could get you in a disguise and no one would be the wiser. And Sophie's like, I've got an idea of how to make yourself invisible. Be a maid. And
Right. And so
it
that's
works.
it works. And we see that at the ball. And I guess we probably shouldn't say that. Should we say that?
I will save it, the rest of it, I guess, for. Oh, no, we can talk about it
Yeah,
now. But just to close out the Eloise and Hyacinth section, Cressida does not notice Hyacinth, but she
well,
also.
neither does Violet. And at first, Benedict doesn't, but Benedict eventually does.
No, Benedict catches them and is just like, all right, we're going home.
But
But
Hyacinth is
like in a
just
fun way.
ecstatic, and she's gossiping with Eloise on the sidelines. She's like, "This is just the coolest thing."
Yeah.
And while they are there, part of the Penelope plot comes to pass as well, because we suspect that Alfie has been on a number of these things.
I love Alfie.
He's great. And so Cressida gets up, like she realizes the Queen's not coming, and she gets up to make a speech and Penelope gives Alfie the high sign, and he has deliveries of Lady Whistledown come in, and it's her last issue. I've been so grateful, to write about each of the people I've written about. Y'all are great. I'm not writing anymore.
It's essentially the thing that Cressida did to her twice last season, once at her engagement party announcing herself as Lady Whistledown, and the second time at that other ball, just handing out stuff in the middle of a ball, being like, oh, this is me, the confident part. And Colin oddly enough, does not have anything to do with any of
Other than
this.
I'm so proud of you.
He doesn't even say that. I
He
said
does
that
say,
he
no,
should say, oh, well,
he does say that.
afterwards, yes, but not beforehand.
No, beforehand, all you do is see them hold hands and
Kiss and
whatever.
whatever. I feel like Colin just,
They have
the writers just
sidelined
don't know
him
what to do with him anymore. And I felt like they had a good idea last episode of like
with
hyping up
Gregory.
Gregory and all that stuff. Pair him with a sibling. Like have him do stuff. But like even when he's paired with his siblings with Anthony and Benedict in this episode, he just wanders off while they have the actual meat of the conversation and comes back later. It's like, what just happened?
Hey,
He doesn't get to like have his two cents in it. And I feel like that's like such
I
what the writers have been doing to Colin of like, he'll be there for the first part of it, wander off, and then the meat of the actual like conversation will happen. He'll come back, and then he's just like, oh, what happened?
guess
Ooh.
they just didn't want to have multiple scenes of someone talking to Benedict about having a crush on Maid kind of thing.
No, but
And I
they're
think
already having one with Anthony, so just jo have Colin join in.
right. Yeah, I mean, having him join in is one thing, but because they essentially also write off Anthony, I guess they have to use Anthony for something. But Colin, because he is present in town, it would, and then the family gets together and does multiple things. There would be opportunities, I guess, for him to slip if he knew. And they don't know how to incorporate that, so they're just writing him out. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's not
I think
reality.
Penelope would say anything unless Violet asked.
Well, right. Or maybe he'd say something to Penelope or whatever. Who knows? But they just don't know how to incorporate that into the storyline. So they act like it's an impossibility.
Or that Colin is just not relevant to the
Yeah,
story
which
at
is
all,
stupid
which is sad.
and
And again,
annoying.
there are cute ways to incorporate him, like last episode of like offhandedly, indirectly giving him advice and
Yeah.
stuff like that, but I don't know. I feel like he could have been an interesting, like I think he could have easily have been someone to kind of be in Benedict's corner a bit, because
Yeah,
he's the
sure.
most recently married of the three. And not to say that Anthony is, and Kate are still not madly in love with each other. However, with Anthony, we'll talk about the full conversation in a minute, but he's taking the stance of you're going to ruin your family, whereas Colin could be the more empathetic side of
Yeah,
it.
like we can make this work. Let's work on
Well,
it,
let's just discuss this. Like, have you even seen them together? Do you know how they interact? Do you know what she wants? Like,
Or
what?
how they behave. Like, we never
You've
see
never met the
Anthony. Right.
girl.
Anthony and Sophie do not interact.
Not once.
Not once. So we don't.
I hope that changes in the future.
Well, right. But the way it is portrayed, I mean, he has no idea what this girl is like or what she's capable of or if they can overcome it as a couple. And you have to kind of see whether that's reality. And they don't bother to
Yeah.
find out. Because we also have like these really lengthy John and
Well,
Francesca things.
we'll also discuss that.
Yeah.
But also, I guess I'll discuss that later. But even Violet, who is the leader of the parade of you can't ruin your family, also really likes Sophie and
Right.
really wants to protect her.
Everybody
And
wants to try to figure out if there's a way to make it work.
exactly, she's all for making it work if it's possible.
Right.
But Anthony, meanwhile, is going the exact opposite direction of when
Well,
she's
he's
being brought
being Anthony.
in.
Right. Well, and the thing about it is you don't get a sense of what the real conversation between Anthony and Violet was about this either.
No, we don't hear anything about that.
But
We'll
anyway.
talk about that later. Let's talk about John, Francesca, and Michaela. So, what?
It's just sad.
It is sad. But so that morning, the morning after the dinner party,
There's breakfast.
John is feeling bad for snapping at Francesca, and he didn't get a chance to talk to her that night
Well, he's
again.
a bit worried at breakfast, so he's trying to talk to Michaela about, I'm worried about like whether you're gonna be friends with Francesca.
And then
And
Francesca shows up for breakfast acting like best friends with Michaela, and
he's
Michaela
like,
is he's just like,
hey.
are you guys friends? And they're like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Where have you been?
Yeah, we played a drinking game last night. We're good.
Yeah, we're fine. I love the way they answer him of just like, yeah, of course we are. What are you talking
Obviously.
about? Yes.
Yeah.
It's such a girl thing. I love it.
Yeah.
But That was really cute. Then there, I think the next thing. Oh yes, at Cresta's ball, John sneaks Francesca away to go into the garden and just look at the moon like they did the very first time night they met. And they're prepared to like sit in silence for a minute because that's their thing
And
and
then he's
enjoy the
like, "I
quiet.
can't be silent. I love you so much. I know you're an amazing wife, and I know you'd be an amazing mother at the right time. I just love you." And they're so cute.
They're so cute. And she's like, I love you. And it's
And
so
right, and the
cute.
day after the ball, they had been doing a jigsaw puzzle, apparently, John, Francesca, and Michaela, and they finish it. And he's like, "Yeah, I kind of want to go have a nap because I got to do, meet with this guy about
I have
permanent
a
stuff. I have a
headache.
headache. I'm sure it'll clear itself up. Wake me up before we eat, and it'll all be good."
So
And
Francesca goes to do that.
yeah.
And luckily, the way they frame this scene, you don't see him.
Much.
You
You see his legs.
see his legs. You don't really see anything else of him.
He's on the bed.
It's not what I had imagined based off the book, which I'm grateful for actually, because mine was a lot more grim. But she walks in. She's trying to wake him up. She can't, and she realizes that he's dead, and she screams. And it's very sad. So, for those of you who don't know, because they never spell out how he died,
It's
because
an
he just said,
aneurysm.
yeah, it's an aneurysm. But if you just watched the show, it's just like, he had a headache, went to sleep, and died. It's like, what? What are you talking about? You don't die from a headache.
Except it's
Unfortunately,
sort of like what an aneurysm is, though.
that scares me, and I don't like that. And
Yeah.
I've been afraid of aneurysms for a long time.
I did not know this. Okay.
I am now. I think
All right.
ever since I read that book, I've been afraid of aneurysms.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't do anything about it. How do you even like do anything for aneurysms?
There's really, unless you catch it super
Which,
early,
how do you do that?
like if the headaches start early enough and you get like an MRI or whatever,
Yeah, but
you
if
can
I
catch
think
it.
it's
But
just regular headaches, I'm not going to check it
right,
out.
and most people don't, which is why people die from aneurysms.
Exactly, that's what scares me because I don't want to be like.
Well, and you can get written off very easily by medical professionals too. It's like it's a headache,
It's a migraine,
it's
you're
a migraine.
fine.
As a person who gets migraines.
See, you've made me afraid.
I'm sorry, it's my fault.
Yeah,
Anyway,
whatever.
it is very, very sad.
It is
But we
sad.
don't see a whole much of it in this episode. It will be more in the next
It
episode
will
as
be
the
basically
fallout.
all in the next episode.
Meanwhile, we have Sophie and Benedict, and so their storyline starts with the morning after they have sex, and Sophie's kind of like, "Oh, I shouldn't have," and Benedict's like, "But no, we should have, and we can make this work." And
What I like about Benedict in this entire episode is that he, and even last episode, he's just like, you don't regret this, right? I don't see this as a mistake. I don't regret any of this. Regardless of what happens, I don't want you to write it off as a mistake or to minimize it like that.
right.
It means a lot to him that she is, first of all, willing to do this with him because he loves her, but also just because it now sex was so meaningless to him before, not meaning completely, but it was more just an activity that he did, and he didn't really write a lot, put a lot of like effort and
Thought.
care into it. However, now that it means something to him, he wants to make sure that it means as much to everybody, to the other person.
Right.
And I really like that change in him. So she's just like, oh, I don't know. And now I might be pregnant, and then I would have to be your mistress. So trust me, I'm stressed.
Yeah, I gotta go.
But they still kiss, and they're still like sweet. And clearly, they're not like parting on bad terms or anything. She's
No.
just overwhelmed and has to go start her day.
Right, so he writes like within a day or two, and they meet in the conservatory that he's got like candles
He's
and
also never been this productive as Viscount in training or whatever the
no,
fuck he
yeah, he's
is.
like doing real work, as
Impressive.
impressive. And he meets with Sophie in the conservatory, and they have this discussion, kind of like what we talked about. It's like, no, I've had a drawing of my cottage, and I've told the Crabtrees to get it ready for us to move in, and we are going to have this magical life. It's gonna be great. And Sophie's kind of like, I'm not so sure about that.
What if you
What about
change your mind?
what if you change your mind? What about your family? Because then you won't be able to really hang out with your family. I know you love your family. I know you love social stuff. And what are you talking about? But I mean, she's not like that dismissive, but she's very grounded in the this can still go to hell. And I think while she doesn't say it in her mind, it's like, I'm gonna have to make this work if I'm pregnant, but if not, I'm not committing right now.
Yeah, she doesn't outright say it, but
No.
it's implied. And but he says he will take care of her regardless of the situation with the pregnancy. And he,
Well, he says that more in the second meeting of the
yes,
conservatory.
but either way,
Yeah.
they are. He also comes out to her. He mentions that he's kind of sick of society ruling who he can and cannot be with, because he has cared for many women and men intimately, and he doesn't feel ashamed about it at all, which is good. It's a very healthy place to be in.
But society
And
shouldn't be governing any of this shit.
exactly, fuck society. And Sophie's just like, love is love. I'm okay, whatever.
Love,
And
love, love.
but he also tells her, which I think also eases her mind a little bit about that revelation. Not that she really needed much, but he says, I've never cared about someone the way I care about you. And it's scary, but I'm fully committed and ready to commit to you in every way that matters. Even if we can't legitimately get married, I will commit to you in every way. And our kids will be okay, because she starts freaking out about kids and how they will be treated in the eyes of society and all of that stuff.
He's like, it's gonna be fine.
And then she's just like, the reason I'm scared about this is because I'm illegitimate. And they pieced together,
Yeah, I
her
mean,
mom
she.
was a maid and her father was a nobleman. And Benedict's like, I swear I will never treat any of our children poorly or dismiss them. And
Or
they
you,
will be
or.
loved and you will be loved and everyone will be okay. Which is exactly what she wants to hear and needs to hear.
But it's also, she's heard these words before.
She's heard them so many times, and that's the unfortunate thing of just like re-listening and re-watching. I'm just like, I know that to be true about Benedict, but obviously she still doesn't completely know him. And even if she did know him, people who actually know him are questioning it. So why, like, obviously he knows he's changed, but it's hard to prove it to everybody else.
But he hasn't had an opportunity to actually prove himself, even to
And he's
himself.
trying.
Yeah, he is trying, but like the more you reject him, the easier it is for him to just go back to his old ways too.
Yeah, it's rough.
So,
So they have that.
they
And
have that.
all throughout this, Sophie is tracking her period and trying to figure out it gets to the point where she is even like a couple days late and she's getting a little bit concerned.
But also excited.
But yeah, because it regardless, it's born out of love
Right.
and they care about each other. But it also scares her to be like, oh, this is a big life change. Not just the kid, but also like committing to Benedict is a big life change.
Well, right, and giving up like her profession and everything else. So part of what has her super concerned, and the reason they have a second meeting in the conservatory, is she overhears Benedict talking to Anthony. Now, I do
Oh,
want to
let's
talk about
discuss
all the
Anthony.
Anthony
No,
stuff.
let's do it now.
But that's what I mean right
Oh,
now.
okay, great. Perfect.
Yeah.
We're on the same page then. So Anthony comes back to town. Him and Kate are very, very cute with the baby. And I love immediately that this wasn't even included in the clip that was released
No.
before the episodes were, that he's just like, all right, what's his preference of Pall Mall color?
Yeah,
It's just
exactly.
like,
What
you little
color does he
tyrant.
have?
You
Yeah.
tyrant, I swear.
He's so
Not
cute.
the baby,
But
obviously. I'm talking referring
he
to
will
Anthony
be.
Bridgerton, the grown man. But
Is he?
I think they are being very cute. Kate needs to rest some more, and so does the baby after their long
So they
journey.
stay at Aubrey Hall, and Antony comes to town to check on what's actually going on. And he had gotten a letter from Violet, and apparently, at least some of what is contained in the letter is Benedict's fucking around.
Not that he's exactly fucking around, but he's not listening to her about fucking around.
Right, with a maid. And so Antony's like, everything okay? And Val was like, you're home. Yeah, it's gonna be fine. Great. You need to talk to your brother.
So please talk to your brother. And so ABC go to the, I guess it's White's, I suppose,
It's got it. Well,
like, or some kind of club.
it's Montrich's, isn't it? Or did they
Montrich's
close
doesn't
it?
exist anymore.
Whatever. They go to the club.
They go to the club, and Colin is to discussing Gregory's new crush and how he's in love with this girl after exchanging three words with her. And Antony's like, well, he's bolder than any of us three bumbling idiots. And it's just like, yep, I'm gonna go bumble to get more drinks. And
And
leaves them alone for Antony to be like, so you're fucking the maid. And
Benedict's like,
like,
it's not worth
straight out of
it.
the gate.
Well, and
If we're
Benedict's
gonna
got like
compare apples
to
to
opera
opera
singers,
singers, let's discuss this.
and Antony's like, look, I quit my dalliance before Kate. And Benedict's like, it's not a dalliance. And correctly, Antony says, I would have sworn that mine wasn't either.
And I think that this, honestly, the addition of Sienna, and not that she didn't ex like an opera singer dalliance didn't exist in the books,
It did.
it did. But the inclusion, the major inclusion in season one, does show that. And Antony thinks that he's in the right of, well, I thought the same thing, and then that fucked me over, and I lost that, and it led me to bigger and greater things,
Right,
aka my the love of my life, Kate.
but one of the differences between Antony's opera singer in the books versus in the show. In the show, he was very committed to, well, he was overtly trying to be very committed to her
And even considered
eventually.
running away with her.
In the books, she was never going to be more than just someone that he put up in a
Some,
house
no,
and
somebody
threw.
else was putting her up in a house, I
Well,
believe.
that was later, but initially he had been putting her up in a house and screwing her, and that was the accepted norm for, what you do with opera singers, apparently.
I guess.
But that, and then she threw him over for a new guy, and he was like, no, you can't, let's have sex again. And then he's trying to win her back and discovers that she's committed to this new guy. So
Whatever. So Antony's thinking, oh, well, you'll learn from my experience that this isn't what you want. And Brenner's like, no, this is what I want.
the differences too, and he says, you haven't been here. Antony really doesn't know that Benedict has done his screwing around. Like, he has done so
He
many years
was not
screwing
there for the
around.
hoe face. He thinks this is his hoe face. He's no wrong.
Right,
He had the
exactly.
major hoe phase of months and months
With
after,
many, many, many people.
like, the last like semi-committed relationship he was there for was Tilly, technically speaking, and
Was
that was,
just seeing it.
yeah, he was there, like, he was there
Awesome.
while that was happening, that he was at the wedding, and that was when Benedict decided to go back and do the threesome thing. So Antony, I don't know if he was even aware of it.
Right, I don't think he was
No, he
aware.
was, because Tilly came to charades night. So he was aware that Benedict was hanging out with her.
Well, too, but
So
she was also a widow, so
it
and
doesn't
a high
matter.
born
Yes,
person, so.
that doesn't matter. But again, he doesn't know the hoe phase that happened in between Tilly and Sophie. And so he hasn't
We're
seen
the
the
feminine of
evolution.
things. I mean, like, he doesn't.
Whereas Violet, even though she's like, you are still making a mistake by like messing with Sophie, because she's also starting to feel a little protective of Sophie, of
She
like,
feels very protective of Sophie, honestly. I think most of it is that, honestly.
yeah, honestly, it is. And it's just like, will
Like,
you please leave that poor girl alone? I don't know if she really wants this. And also, she has other things to deal with right now, because at that point, she was aware of all that. Oh, also, Violet goes to Sophie and is just like, hey, here's the letter of introduction. It's not that I believe the Penwoods over you, but I think that they will
there's
not stop until they find you and ruin your life. So maybe you should go to another position just so that you're away from them.
right, and I think also in the back of her mind,
It's like, away from
you,
Benedict so
yeah,
that
because you and Benedict, there's stuff
there's
there.
magnetic chemistry that you guys are not avoiding by any means.
No.
Either way.
Anyway, so in the end.
But Antony, he's being
So Antony tells, there are a couple of conversations with Antony and Benedict. The last one is one that Sophie overhears. It is in Antony's office, and Antony's basically like, look, you've been playing a life at my cottage with this girl, and it's never going to work. I could not like bring a child into this world. Whatever's going to happen, like, let's say you have this relationship with her. You have kids, no one's going to be able to accept the kids. Even our mother, who's pretty liberal about a lot of stuff, is not going to be okay with your kids being around our kids. And he's like, I couldn't look my child in the face knowing that I had deliberately put them in that position. And Benedict's like, you don't understand. I've already thought about this. And he's like, I don't think that you have, but what Sophie overhears is this whole, we won't let our family be around you.
Coming from the head of the family.
Yeah. And Antony even says in this conversation, she's like, I ought to cut you off financially. Like,
There's
that's a problem.
also a moment that we skipped over with Lady Danbury, where
Oh, yeah.
Benedict is seeing Kate and Edmund finally arrive at
Briefly.
Bridgerton House
Very,
very
very briefly.
briefly, and they're not seen in this episode again. But they are chilling, and the family is like around the baby, and they're enjoying their time. And Benedict is just watching the child and being like, well, there goes my purpose in life. However, I don't feel bad. I feel a lot of love and maybe a little bit of envy, but I do love this child. And so I'm okay with accepting my lot in life of the spare is not needed anymore, and I'm okay with moving on with a different version of my life than what it was before, which he hopes now that will include Sophie. So Sophie overhears all of the stuff with Antony, and she is realizing, okay, well, I'm fucked. So she sends the letter of introduction to Cressida, the new Lady Penwood.
Via Alfie.
Via Alfie, and she meets with Benedict and is like, hey, I'm interviewing for a new position, which is news to him because he's just like, well,
I
why are
thought
you
you were
taking a new position
staying.
if I have pitched this great idea to you, which would include you not having to work anymore? Why, what's going on here? And she's just like, I can't take you away from this loving family, and I don't want to be the reason that is happening to you. And if I stay at Bridgerton House, there will forever be that magnetic pull between us that neither of us can deny and neither of us can resist. So I need to go, and you need to focus on your family.
And he's like, but I can still take care of you. But. And she's like, no, I just can't do this.
She kind of lets it slip. It's like, oh, it was a mistake, trying to minimize it again. And he's just like, don't ever call what we did a mistake. And I appreciate that because it was not a mistake. It was done out of love, and it can never be called that.
Right. So that's the episode. What were your best parts?
Let's see.
Mine is primarily a list of side characters, though.
Benedict and Sophie, I think, are very sweet with, like, I like that she is honest with him about her parentage, and I like that he's honest about his sexuality. And I like that they're getting a lot of that stuff out in the open because I thought they were going to kind of ignore his sexuality.
I kind of thought that
I'm
too.
glad they didn't
Me
because it
too.
is a big part of him. And I think that aspect of his sexuality, of like having to keep part of it hidden, does like.
Inform what he does.
Exactly. And it makes a lot of sense for him to be like, fuck society. I already don't like society because I have to hide this part of myself. And so I like that that's included and it makes a lot of sense. I also just think they're very cute. I like them a lot. Organically bringing Cressida back. I don't like Cressida, but I think that writers were smart in the way they did it. Because if they had just had her come back for no fucking reason and done absolutely nothing, and she was not included in any of this plot lines that were going on, but I think they organically did it with her being the new Lady Penwood and like kicking Araminta out. It's very Cressida, and I think that works generally. And there's another reason why they chose Cressida for a moment in episode 8. So I think they were smart about that. Alice and Will are very cute. Anthony and Kate are very cute. Francesca and Michaela being friends is very nice, and like the trio with John doing jigsaw puzzles and such. It's the vibe I wanted. I wish we got it for a little bit longer before John died,
Yeah.
but I mean, to be fair, like they had pretty easily established that, oh, yeah, no, we're friends. We're good. So, would we have needed to see much more of that? Not necessarily, but I feel like it needed a little bit more room to breathe instead of it being like 2 days or whatever it was. I also like the Francesca and John moment at the ball. The queen letting people go. I didn't mention that the queen also is letting Lady Danbury leave.
Oh,
They
right.
have a really
Very
sweet
briefly,
moment.
specifically, they look at each other and get tears in
It's nice.
their eyes.
And the Queen Charlotte theme plays. Violet and Marcus, question mark. I think they're cute.
They have a question mark for me, too.
The miscommunication I'm not a big fan of, but I think that they're fine.
I
I
don't love it, but it's not awful.
given what I know what happens later, I think that it's fine in the trajectory they were going. If they were going to really stick to this, I don't know how I'd feel about it. But
Right, exactly. And so in the moment, I'm kind of like,
because spoiler alert, they don't
this
pursue
theme,
this
yeah, right.
really because of other reasons we'll discuss. But just generally, I think that the Marcus and Violet thing, as I'm sure I said in part one, I think that it would be a fine exploration of her sexuality after Edmund and all of that stuff. But as far as like the long term is concerned, I don't really see how he would fit in to
So
any of it.
if you're looking for spoilers about this storyline, the episode that was released today, this being the Sunday after Bridgerton Part 4 aired, I talk about what I think is going to happen, and it pretty much happens that way. So
What?
I talk about what I think is going to happen with Violet and Marcus, and it pretty much happens that way. And
What episode are you, what?
I'm talking about the episode of Buzz Binging that was published today. We did some predictions.
Oh,
I
the
talked
Outlander
about,
episode.
right.
Okay, I thought you were talking about like last episode. I was like, no.
No,
Okay.
Natalie. So anyway, yes, you were saying.
But yeah, I generally, and I know I said this like in part one, but he in the long term wouldn't really f not that he's not a fine character, but it's like how would he fit into the general makeup of the show of like how would he interact with the kids? We have never seen him interact with any of the children, so how would that incorporate
Yeah, and
into
he's
it?
present at these social functions, and they all never speak to each other.
They
It's
never
very
speak to each other, and
strange.
also even like with new love interests being brought in every season, they interact with the other children, so at least we know their dynamic for to a general in a general sense. But comparatively, Marcus is not as integrated as like any other love interest has been up to this point. So them being like, "All right, we're getting engaged," it's like, okay, yeah, that's no.
Well, when this comes up in this episode, you should feel like, wait a minute.
That's a bit
And
bizarre.
that is an
They're
interesting wait
cute,
a
but
minute that hovers over the next
yeah.
couple of years.
And then the last one is Eloise being mature. I appreciated it more on rewatch, but I think Eloise not only helping with the Hyacinth thing and doing it for not selfish reasons, like just doing it because she wants to be a good big sister.
Well, that's fun for her too.
It's
Like,
oh, it's
ooh,
so
I'm
much
sneaking
fun.
people in, doing something
And
funny. Yeah, okay.
also, her talk with Penelope about, well, maybe look at it from this perspective. And that's showing a lot of empathy and self-awareness that Eloise doesn't usually show.
True.
And I think this is helping set up for her season, I think.
Right. There are things being set up for seasons to come. We're going to have predictions at the
And we
end of
will,
this
because it has not
discussion.
been announced as of yet. Because
No.
last season it was pretty damn clear.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the past seasons, it's been really clear who's next, but this one is a little bit more
Vague.
vague and they want it to be,
Yeah.
even though they obviously
Do you have other best parts?
know.
All right, so my best parts, I just love seeing Anthony regardless of the fact that he doesn't get a ton of screen time and he's kind of doing bullheaded Antony things. I love Antony. I love Kate. We get very, very, very little of her. It's
Like a
like
sliver,
absurdly little of
too
her.
little of her.
And it's sad. And no, it doesn't get better over the next couple episodes. Spoiler.
With either of them.
With either of them. And so
Even though
you
it would have
gotta
made more
take what you
sense.
can get. This episode's probably the best of it, so I'm gonna take it. Alfie, great, love him.
Oh, yes, Alfie, he helps
The
with
I did
helping.
have a question mark by Violet and Lord Anderson. I think we've addressed that. One of my bigger best parts in this is Hyacinth and Eloise. I
Oh,
like
yes, Hyacinth.
them. I love Hyacinth, obviously, all the time, but I love the fact that they've made up without like awkward apologies and weirdness. Like
Fanfare.
when they try to have awkward apologies, it fails. But when they're just doing something together, it works. And so I like that that happened. And I like, how happy Hyacinth is afterwards and how she expresses it. Like to her sister, like, that was the best night ever. It's clear that this was the best thing that Eloise could possibly have done to make it up to her sister. And it was her own creative idea, which fantastic. So that was my best part list. What were your worst parts?
John's death. It's very
Yeah,
sad. And
definitely.
obviously we knew it was coming. Well, we did. Other
We've been
people, I'm
talking
sure,
about it
were
a lot.
shocked, but we knew it was coming. It never fully prepares you because obviously he's going to say all these sweet things to Francesca and be like, well, this seems like a final farewell for you. And him looking at them as they're doing their next jigsaw is like, yeah, he's a goner now. But yeah, in general, it just is like, yeah, it's sad, and it leads to interesting things, obviously, for Francesca, but also makes things more introspective for Benedict. So I think their timing of it makes sense, what they chose for, like, when it was going to happen. Because, again, I think if Francesca's next, as far as her season is concerned, that doesn't make a whole bunch of sense to me, as far as, like, needing breathing space between the death and moving on.
We're going to talk about it more later.
Yeah, we
We know.
will. But so I think that Francesca and John and all that stuff, like, I think they did it rather well, but it's still sad and it's the worst part. Anthony being b blind and dumb. I love Anthony Bridgerton. I truly do. We all know it. However, Anthony, have you ever seen your brother like this? I would just like to ask you that. Have you
He's not
ever?
that much.
No, I
He
know
has enough
that.
for like 14 seconds to say stop it, and
But
that's
even
it.
before then, had he ever seen his brother like this? No. So maybe entertain the general idea that even though he, like, some of this is stuff he needs to hear, that you need to be a little bit more gentle with his feelings, considering the
Anthony,
fact
gentle
that
with feelings. No, he's the mallet of death. Come on.
it's just generally, I think he should have been a little bit kinder.
Oh, it probably would have been a lot more effective if he had been a little bit kinder, but then he wouldn't
And
be Antony.
understanding and
He
being like,
wouldn't
well,
have
I've been in love too,
been
so it's kind of hard.
Antony. It would not have been Antony, though. And I while I do agree that it might have been not have
I
been
think
the most
that would have been
effective.
Colin's bag, but he wasn't included, so.
Right. So from an expression standpoint, this is unfortunately the way Antony expresses himself. And or fortunately, sometimes it's fortunate, but he is very, very, very direct and linear thinking.
And
So
then
go ahead.
Sophie breaking up with Benedict is sad.
Yeah, so I didn't even see it as a breakup. I just saw it as more of the we can't. They're a can we, can't we? They're not a will we, won't we? They're a can we, can't we? And
Yeah.
so this is more of a can't for her. And I didn't see, I never saw them as being committed to actually making it happen. So it didn't feel like she broke up with him to
Well,
me.
they started making plans, and then she's just like,
No,
no.
he started making plans. She did not. She just was like, well, maybe. But she didn't commit. My worst parts, the obstacles again, you know, the constant obstacles, and again, it's part of the drama, right? But the fact that some of them are now sounding, there's things that Sophie's hearing, like Antony's objections, like, you know, how are you going to make that up to her, Antony? She heard you. You're going to have to actually apologize for being a shithead.
You have
You
to
know,
actually
things like
talk to
that.
her.
Right, which we're never going to see because that's not what this show does. John's death, of course, is horrible. We love John, love
We
him,
do.
and it is such a shame because, you know, he is a character that we didn't even get to see really developed in the books, and now he's gone. So it's sad. I have as worst parts. There are a bunch of too much of other storylines. Too much Cresta. Way too much Cresta. Way too much Queen Charlotte and Penelope. Way too much. I mean, again. It's not a full-on Featherington show as it has been for multiple seasons, but it's too much even for this story. I want to see Bridgertons. I don't want to see the Penelope Queen Charlotte thing. I want to see Penelope and Colin. I want to see, you know, Antony and Kate. I want to see the Bridgertons interacting. And for whatever reason, this show doesn't want to give us that much of that. And while it is important, like I also felt like there were a lot of Francesca and John in this, which is why I question your thing about it's definitely not going to be Francesca season next. I'm not sure about that. We're going to discuss it at the proper time, which is at the end of the season. But I'm not convinced of it, given how much screen time they have devoted to Francesca and her storyline in this season. So what grade did you give this episode? I gave
B plus.
it a B. I didn't give it a plus because I felt like this was probably of the second part, probably the weakest
I think it
episode.
was the weakest, yeah.
And so that's where I left it. We have much more to come. I don't think we're going to have an opportunity to have another Mimosa flight, sadly.
No.
So, enjoy the pictures while you can. Make your own Mimosa flights. This
While
is
you
so fun.
can. When are they going
They're
away?
not. But, there's so much fun involved in like the whole concept of Mimosa flights. There's so many things you can mix in. And we hope that you try them. Share with us whatever you come up with to mix into your sparkling wine. We love anything sparkling wine. So please, we hope that you join us for our upcoming episodes. And
Oh, don't forget to email us.
yes, don't forget to email us at buzzedbinging.com.
At
And
gmail.com, sorry.
gmail.com. Wow. How much mimosa have I had?
Too
Not
much.
sure. We're just not sure anymore. But we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.